With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Finish off your football Sunday with Sunday Night Football on Sports Radio 610. This is not in the liner, but I'm going to self-promote a little bit. It follows the world's greatest post-game show in the history of mankind. That would be the post-game show to the Houston Texans and New York Giants. Sunday Night Football, this week it's the New England Patriots licking their wounds a little bit. All of a sudden that loss in week one where you're going, ah, it was the Patriots. Doesn't feel quite that much now that the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get into that this segment. Anyways, the Patriots are in Detroit to take on the Lions. Another teacher versus student matchup. Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia. Coverage starts at 6:30 p.m. right after Texans post. Oh, there it is. Right after Texans postgame. On your home for the NFL, Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Shotgun formation and Barber, a sidecar to the left hip of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Evans wide to the right side, dropping. Fitzpatrick throws a crossing route. Caught ball. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans. What a strike throw by Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That was Ryan Fitzpatrick, whose post-game press conference was one of the greatest things of the season so far.
Absolutely.
He dressed up in all of DeSean Jackson's bling, and he looked like Conor McGregor, actually, at the podium after the game. Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you had the prop bet that Ryan Fitzpatrick will throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns in each of his first two games of this season, you can go ahead and cash your ticket. Just be sure to claim it on your taxes because you have made well over $10,000, I guarantee, if you bet on that. He's only the third quarterback to throw for over 400 yards in each of the first two games of a season. He's only the third quarterback to throw for four touchdowns in each of the first two games of a season. And in fact, Patrick Mahomes is one of the other two. So I think that makes him the only one. In fact, I know it is because Drew Bledsoe is the other one in the touchdown pass. He's the only one to do both.
Ryan Fitzmagic.
Yeah.
See, this is the crazy thing. After week one, just from like a fantasy and a pick'em standpoint, everybody is asking, like, do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to do this again? And I was like, look, it's not like Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't done this before. He's done it before in Buffalo. He did it before in New York. He's done it. He did it for the Texans. Like, he's done it in different places, but it's like a one-off thing.
Yeah.
And I told people, like, nah, I mean, pick him up and see, but I wouldn't start him.
Have you seen the Fitzy cycle? The graphic of the
No.
Ryan Fitzpatrick cycle? Okay, it's a circle. It's a circle with Ryan Fitzpatrick's face in the middle of it with his big beard and everything. And it's like one of those flow charts like you'd see at a corporate meeting.
Yeah.
Where there's like a, like there are six little arrows that all go counterclockwise, or no, go clockwise, I should say, around the Fitzpatrick face. And the first arrow inside of it says, signs with new team. Like the next one is like starter gets injured, Fitzy comes in. The next one is Fitzy explodes. The next one is team gives him big contract. And then the next one is sucks. And the last one is Fitzy released.
What do you
think? He's done that like three times now.
He has.
And it'll happen here again too.
What is it about him? Like, what is it when he gets the contract or when he becomes the starter, does he get too complacent? Because he's a smart guy. Everybody talks about, oh my God, you know, look, he gets all these high scores. He's so smart.
Yeah. But like, I don't know if you know, he went to Harvard.
He did. Yeah, he went to Harvard. I did know that. I've only heard that about a million times.
Right.
Like when he was here.
I'm sure you hear it a million and one.
A million and one times per day when he was here in Houston.
Oh yeah.
But he's a smart guy. Obviously he has the ability to be a really good quarterback, throwing for over 400 yards, over 800 yards in two games. So he has that ability. What is it that makes it to where he goes poo-poo all over the place?
I don't know. I think some of it, like, some of it's got to be the system that he's playing in.
Yeah.
You know, that certain systems are more conducive to having success. I'd have to go back and look and see who all the coordinators were. I just think it's like, it's sometimes it's just the explanation is it's sports and
like
you know, and the sand runs out of the hourglass and you turn into a pumpkin again. I'm mixing all sorts of Disney metaphors right now. You know, like eventually the Padawan gets slashed in the head. I don't know.
What?
But anyway, I don't know.
I don't think that's it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But whatever the case, this one is the most fun out of all the Fitzy crazy starts because of the Jameis angle to it.
Yeah.
And by the way, the lead into this segment, my tease into this segment is four ways the football gods are bleeping with us right now.
Yeah.
And if you're a Texan fan, this is one of them, that Ryan freaking Fitzpatrick is routinely going for 400 yards and four touchdowns.
It hurts. It hurts. And you look at the weapons that he's got. It's not like everybody thought DeSean Jackson was done.
Right.
Like after Tampa was on Hard Knocks, he thought, man, this combination of Mike Evans and DeSean looks like it could be really good.
Yep.
And then he was nothing. He didn't do anything for him. And now he's exploding. And both he and Mike Evans look like two of the best receivers in the league.
And
Fitzpatrick is the one making
just,
him look like
and just
that.
To be clear, I know like people are going to be like, well, what did you want them to do? Keep Fitzpatrick all the way through 2018? Like,
yeah.
No, obviously. Like, I'm perfectly happy with Deshaun Watson as the quarterback here. Like, I wouldn't trade Deshaun for anybody right now. Like, honestly, I wouldn't. Like, it's two games, and I think Deshaun Watson is going to be a great NFL quarterback. And I say this as we're about to lead into bullet point number two as to the football gods bleeping with us. If it's not Fitzy getting four touchdown passes, then it's Patrick Mahomes, who was drafted two spots ahead of Deshaun Watson. And I guess my warning to Chiefs fans would be careful. Because the last year at this time, this was Deshaun Watson.
That's what I've been trying to tell people is everybody freaking out about Patrick Mahomes. My wife in our family fantasy league had the chance to draft Patrick Mahomes. We do two quarterback leagues.
You have a family fantasy league.
The four.
How many teams?
The 4F league. It's only 10 teams.
Okay.
We're going to add teams as the kids get older.
Okay.
But we've got 10 teams right now. We do two quarterbacks, and she had the chance to draft Patrick Mahomes. I was like, no. Don't draft him.
Oh, you're on the couch right now,
she's
buddy.
She's killing me for it because he's going off. But it's one of those things where people don't know what they didn't know what to expect from Patrick Mahomes with Kansas City. You've got Andy Reid, who's always been a genius offensively for the majority of his head coaching career.
Yep.
And he's in a good system. He's got Tyreek Hill, who can just outrun everybody, and Patrick Mahomes being who he is, he can just bomb it down the field and Tyreek Hill can run the ball down.
Yep.
Like he's in the perfect situation for him to thrive right now. But what happens when these defenses adjust to him halfway through the year?
Someone just texted in Fitzanity. And I haven't seen that Fitzmagic you see all the time. Fitzanity is pretty good. The third way in which the football gods are bleeping with us, Josh Beard, is that the AFC South looks much better than I think we thought it was going to be at the beginning. I think we all thought it would be improved over. Look, it's 2 years ago, 3 years ago, before Jacksonville became what they are now, it was the worst division in football. With Jacksonville being bad, Andrew Luck getting hurt, and Tennessee just being Tennessee. Now, all of a sudden, Tennessee beats the Texans yesterday, although I still think they're a fraudulent team. And I actually still think we were talking about this during the break. Laura Reynolds came in and she's like, well, this football season's not looking so good. And she's right. It's 0-2. But I kind of said, I think the Texans are going to be fine. Like, and by fine, I mean, I think I'm not moving off of my 10-6 prediction. I'm not. This schedule's not hard. And the things that they're doing wrong are fixable things. I'd feel worse if the talent level were low. The talent level's not low.
That's the thing is, and we said this all during the offseason. Jeremy and I in the Bull Rush talked about this all the time, is on paper, this team looks like it's one of the best in the league. The talent and the names that they've got, it all has to come together in the right moment. And it's going to happen. I'm kind of backing off of my prediction because I love hyperbole and love bias.
Oh, what did you predict?
I went homer. I went 12-4.
Okay. I would back off of that.
Backing off of that one because I'm being forced to back off of that one. But I do think that they're going to bounce back. But right now, they're the worst team in the AFC South.
They're the worst team. And the AFC South looks pretty sporty. Now, we're going to get into later in the show just what going 0-2 means. It's not good. Only 11% of the teams have made the playoffs who've gone 0-2 to start the season in this, you know, in this structure of the league, you know, the way the playoff format is set up right now. And people are going to point to, well, one of them was Bill O'Brien and the Texans back in 2015. That's when the AFC South was like the MAC.
Yeah.
Okay. It was the Sun Belt Conference. Like the AFC South is good now. The Jags destroyed the Patriots yesterday. That game was not as close as the final score looked, and they beat them by double digits.
No, that one hurt the most. I think out of everything that happened yesterday with ex-Texan quarterbacks doing well, AFC South teams doing well, the one that really hurt was just watching the way the Jags essentially dominated the Patriots from start to finish.
Because you look at that and you look at, honestly, as a Texan fan, you look at that and you go, I know we're 0-2, but like I watching the Jags yesterday, I go, okay, well, now I know the ceiling is a wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ceiling for this team, is going on the road to start the playoffs.
Absolutely.
If this is what the Jags are going to be. And the thing about yesterday, Blake Bortles.
He looked good.
He looked pretty good. Yeah. Like, he had a couple throws that, okay, there's the old Bortles. But there's enough other stuff around him to make up for it. I think it's interesting. Bortles is lights out without Leonard Fournette in the backfield with him.
He is. There were a couple of throws that he made where he just kind of had to thread it in front of a DB, like perfectly exactly where only his receiver could catch it, and he did that. The one to Keelan Cole on the sideline, where Keelan Cole is just running, catches it one-handed, and stays in bounds, was absolutely insane.
It was a great catch, but it was the only place he could put that ball.
Perfect throw, yeah.
Where he could even have a chance at it. And just to stay with the AFC South for a second, to me, I think even more disturbing to me than the Jags, I shouldn't say that. I mean, the Jags manhandled the Patriots. That's the most disturbing thing. But the Colts beating the Redskins is not far behind.
In Washington.
In Washington. That was a Redskins team that they destroyed Arizona. And I think we're finding out that Arizona might end up being one of the worst teams in the league this year. But the Colts went into Washington and did a number, like with Andrew Luck playing like a C-minus, C-plus kind of game. Mm-hmm. They went in and beat the Washington Redskins. That was a really good win for the Indianapolis Colts. So the AFC South actually looks good. That's the third way the football gods are bleeping with us.
The one thing about that Colts-Redskins game that blew my mind is Alex Smith actually didn't play poorly. He had almost 300 yards passing, no touchdowns, but no interceptions. But in the way Indianapolis stopped the run, AP couldn't do anything. I think Jamison Crowder had the most rushing yards on the team. You saw
Some reverse or an end around or something.
Yeah. Something like Chris Thompson had a great week in week one, and then he was a non-factor in that game.
Yeah.
So that's a concern, especially when you're the Texans and you've been relying on consistency from your run game.
The last one is that Vrabel appears to be a football professor. Like Vrabel actually looks like he's going to be a pretty good head coach. I think Texan fans, most of them, like deep down in their hearts, after watching Mike Vrabel get a head coaching job in division, after coordinating a defense that was by the measure of points allowed, the worst in football last year. And I know there were injuries with JJ and with Whitney, but that team, even before the injuries, that defense had games where they looked disorganized, they looked out of sorts. And certainly once those two were gone and they were going 1-8 down the stretch, that was not a good defense. Like, I get it. Like, you go, there were injuries. Like, yeah, there were injuries, but they gave up more points than anybody in the league.
Right.
Like, you get a little bit of a swing when there are injuries, but not all the way to 32nd
exactly.
in the league. And the guy gets a head coaching job, and we hear all this stuff like, oh, he's so smart, and he's got this charisma. Ted always used to say, oh, he's the smartest teammate that I ever had. And I think, like, I know I did. Like, I want Mike Vrabel to fail in Tennessee, in part because they're in the same division as the Texans.
Yes.
But I just want to see what Mike Vrabel failing looks like. This guy who's been given all this shine and who the city is putting all its weight behind. Like, he's out there doing all the cliched, you know, pandering to Nashville and things like that. All the stuff that, makes you want to throw up.
So he's like Tom Herman.
A little bit. And actually, they were on the staff at Ohio State together, so that should stand to reason. But he did some really smart things yesterday that you're supposed to do when you're coaching the team that has the talent deficiency. He was doing high variance, big swing kind of things, like the touchdown out of the punt formation, like going forward on 4th and inches in your own territory early in the game. Like he was doing high variance things when they made sense. And in times where, like, the call is to just play it as close to the vest as you can, i.e. letting Blaine Gabbert throw the football, he minimized those things.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of guys, there are a lot of coaches that when you see them as coordinators, they are phenomenal. Guy like Lane Kiffin, as a coordinator or a college head coach, he is great. But you look at when they try to go be a head coach in the NFL or they try to go coach a team of men, they don't do as well. I think the same could be said for Mike Vrabel with the fact of he was a really good position coach. He was a bad defensive coordinator, but he could just be a great head coach.
The way CEO delegating,
exactly.
Hiring, you know, I think that
hiring and trusting the people that he hires and then managing the other aspects of the game.
He may very well be, you may be right about that. Like certain guys are cut out for certain roles. Mm-hmm. It would be odd that he's a really good position coach and then not a good coordinator, but really good at just delegating to a bunch of people because it's the opposite skills, right?
Right.
Getting your hands in the clay is different than being the guy sitting up in the office telling people to make statues and sculptures and things like that. You know, like it's.
I want to be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be that. I'm going to be that guy. Can I be the head coach of the station? Just start delegating to everybody.
Well, you want to be the head coach of Sports Radio 610.
Well, like Ryan still gets to be the program director, but he hires me as the head coach. It's like a GM head coach relationship.
Okay, like assistant to the regional manager in Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a prestigious position. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is, Dwight. all right. Hey, we have a concert ticket giveaway here. Dierks Bentley tickets. Win a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley on September 21st at Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion. Let's give those to caller number six to the contest line, 832-430-2WIN, 832-430-2WIN. You'll be on your way to see Dierks Bentley September 21st at Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion. Reminder, at the top of the hour, we're going to give out the final keyword to the last set of tickets to the Giants and the Texans with pregame sideline passes for this weekend. That'll be at the top of the hour. Coming up next, all due respect. Do you have an all due respect story, Josh?
Absolutely.
All right, stupid people doing stupid things. We keep it football, stupid people doing stupid things on Mondays. We will do that next. I got to tell you about something not stupid right now. That's O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to be categorized in the not stupid category? Go to O'Reilly Auto Parts for everything that you need for your automobile. If you go there, because here's the thing, you're getting guaranteed low prices on top quality brand names. And speaking of not stupid, you're getting the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts who are friendly, they're well-trained, they're well-versed, and they want you to come back. And they're going to point you in the right direction for anything that you need. They're going to be all about that customer service as well. So stop on in, get everything you need at O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car. Better parts, better prices every day at O'Reilly. When you stop in, tell them you heard about it on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.